councillors, please be seated. First, I'd like to run through some housekeeping arrangements. Please note that this meeting is being recorded and the sound recording will be made available on the Council's website. Under the Openness of Local Government Bodies regulations, people may film, record, tweet or blog this meeting, and this is outside the Council's control. I would also like to remind councillors and other people attending the meeting that the fire exits are to the rear and side of the room. There are no fire alarm tests planned this evening. Could I also ask that everyone turns off their mobile phones or switches them to silent so that the meeting isn't disturbed? I would also like to remind councillors that when they speak, they are required to stand, if they are able to do so, to address the meeting. This is a requirement of the council's constitution. I will now ask my chaplain, Wendy Dalrymple, to say prayers.
Thank you. I apologise, I haven't been able to be with you during the first part of the Mayor's term of office. I had time off on sabbatical. Every 10 years or so, the Church of England allows its priests to take some time off for good behaviour, but despite that, I was still allowed some time off. Very much on my mind as we meet this week is the theme of disagreeing well, partly because for Christians, this week is the week of prayer for Christian unity, a time when Christians of different denominations and traditions remind ourselves that maybe our way is not the only way. A time when we celebrate the diversity of Christian different churches around the world and also seek to work together for the common good. It's also, as you may or may not have seen, a time when my own church tradition, the Church of England, is trying to work out how we live well with difference, with deep divisions of thought around the issue of human sexuality. You, of course, also know all about what it means to disagree well. Local governance, politics, is about trying to find a way to seek the common good, sometimes despite our deep differences. And somewhere in that, surely we must be people who honour the dignity of one another, no matter our disagreements and our different points of view. So I'm also minded, as I come to set the tone and lead you in prayer this evening, that at the end of this week, we will be marking Holocaust Memorial Day. I'm sure many of you, along with the Mayor, will be at the ceremony here in Loughborough on Friday, and perhaps you're going to mark it in your own way in the different wards that you serve. Remembering the Holocaust is, of course, about remembering the atrocities of the Nazi regime. But it's also about remembering the things that lead to such atrocities, the things that we do to dehumanize one another, that lead us to a place where we see our fellow human beings as less worthy of dignity, as less worthy of life. So I shall pause for a moment's stillness so that you can reflect or pray in your own way. And then I shall use the prayer written back in 2020 by Chief Rabbi Ephraim Mervis, Archbishop Canterbury Justin Welby, and Senior Imam Kari Asim, who came together that year to write a special prayer for Holocaust Memorial Day. And perhaps it might speak to all of us this evening. So let us keep a moment's silence together. Loving God, we come to you with heavy hearts, remembering the 6 million Jewish souls murdered during the Holocaust. In the horrors of that history, when so many groups were targeted because of their identity, and in genocides which followed, we recognize destructive prejudices that drive people apart. Forgive us when we give space to fear, negativity, and hatred of others simply because they are different from us. In the light of God, we see everyone as equally precious manifestations of the divine and can know the courage to face the darkness. Through our prayers and actions, help us to stand together with those who are suffering so that light may banish all darkness, love will prevail over hate, and good will triumph over evil. Amen.
The first item on the agenda is apologies for absence. I've had apologies from the following councillors: Baldwin, Forrest Hunt, Howe, Radford, Ward, Williams, Lowe and Shepherd, and also from Honorary Alderman John Bush, Tony Stott and Joe Tormey. Are there any other apologies? Councillor Seaton.
Thank you. Councillor Matthew Brooks.
Thank you. Oh, I'm sorry.
Madam Mayor, Councillor Andrew Paling.
Thank you. I'll now move on to item two, disclosures of pecuniary interest and other registrable and non-registrable interests. I will now call on the Chief Executive to report on disclosures of interest in the business to be considered at this meeting. Disclosable pecuniary interests and registrable interests relate to entries that are included or should be included on a councillor's register of interests. Non-registrable interests relate to any other matters. Chief Executive.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. No disclosures have been made in advance of the meeting. Are there any from the floor?
I don't see any, so we'll move on. Item three, minutes of the previous meeting. I move that the minutes of the meeting of the council held on the 7th of November 2022 be confirmed and signed as a correct record.
I second the minutes, Madam Mayor.
I understand that Councillor Draycott wishes to raise a point of accuracy on minute number 76. Councillor Draycott, please can you explain your suggested change?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. It's page 11, paragraph 76. I asked a question to do with the housing register, and as it reads, it's inaccurate, and I've asked that the words "the multi-contractors training has been a distraction from doing the voids," if that makes sense, Madam Mayor. Just changes the tense to the sentence, if that could be agreed. And I have checked the sound recording, and it is correct.
Thank you. Subject to that amendment, I'll now sign the official minutes I have here with me and pass them to Democratic Services for archiving. I will now move on to item four, announcements. I've got a couple of announcements. The first one you've already heard from my chaplain is Holocaust Memorial Day. You're welcome to join me at 12 noon on Friday, the 27th of January, at the bandstand in Queen's Park, Loughborough. I hope to see as many of you as possible there. And the Mayor's Civic Service, again, you're welcome to join me on Sunday, the 12th of March, at All Saints Trinity Parish Church, Loughborough. And there'll be more details to follow nearer the time. I'll now move on to leader's announcements. I call on the leader to make his announcements.
Thank you very much, Madam Mayor. I hadn't intended this evening to make any announcements, but late last week we heard that our bid for the UK Shared Prosperity Fund had actually been passed by DLUHC, so I thought I would actually share some of the brilliant projects that are going to be funded from that £4 million fund over the next 3 years. They include four projects across Loughborough, including the Carillon Tower, refurbishing that, which obviously with the 100th anniversary this year is quite a significant project. Also the installation of a living wall in the middle of the town, which I think people will start to see very soon. Funding towards Gorse Covered and also Nampanton Scouts. And then across the rest of the borough, in Shepshed in particular, a significant investment in the public realm for Shepshed. In Mount Sorrel, Sowerby and Birstall, investment in better sports facilities and open spaces for those areas. And in Anstey, also additional funding towards expansion of the community hall to support the residents in Anstey. And then also a very particularly exciting project called Generation Charnwood, which is backed and promoted by the Youth Sports Trust, which will be to the benefit across the whole of the borough, which I personally have been campaigning for quite a long time, because it really is the sort of project that I think will make a significant difference to our up-and-coming generation of residents. So I just thought I'd share that with council, because it is good news, and we only heard at the end of last week. Thank you very much, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. I now call on the Chief Executive to make his announcements.
Madam Mayor, I have no announcements to make.
The next item is item 5, petitions. Are there any petitions to be presented? Thank you. As there are no petitions, we'll move on to item 6. Item 6.1, Treasury Management Strategy, Annual Investment Strategy and MRP Policy, Mid-Year Review. This is page 14 of your papers. I call on Councillor Barclay to propose the item.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Madam Mayor, for the reasons set out in the report of the Cabinet, I move that the Council notes the mid-year review of the Treasury Management Strategy Statement, Prudential Borrowing and Treasury Indicators, plus the Annual Investment Strategy, as set out in Part B of the report, attached as an annex.
I second this, Madam Mayor.
If any councillors wish to speak, will you please raise your hand? Councillor Meir.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This report in front of us today was actually presented, well, dated for September. And if you go to page 21 in September, it couldn't have been any worse for the UK economy. And I'm sure Councillor Barclay would stand up and say, what's that got to do with Charnwood? But actually, it's got everything to do with Charnwood. And when you read the economic catastrophe that the Conservatives put upon the country at that particular moment in time, and fast forward to January, well, actually nothing's changed. When you look at inflation, inflation's still above 10%. When you look at what's happening in government and funding and interest rates, well, interest rates are predicted to go higher this month when the Bank of England committee meet. And this has a direct impact on all the residents in Charnwood. So yes, there is a few hundred thousand pounds extra in our investment income, Madam Mayor, but when you look at the extra inflation of 10% and what we've had to give to our contractors as part of their contracts for inflation, one of the contracts was over 10%, so we've had to pay them 10% more this year. And this is all down to Conservative economic policy nationally, which has now filtered down locally. And I don't envy any of the members opposite who are facing an election in a few months' time. If any by-elections of the last few weeks have anything to gone by, we're not going to be seeing many of them back. Maybe it's time for a change. Because if you look at this report and what it has befallen the citizens of Charnwood and the residents of Charnwood, the ratepayers of Charnwood, it's shocking. And it's all down to their support. And you know, you might sit down and think, actually, Liz Truss and Kwasi Kwarteng have left the building, and it's Rishi Sunak and his people in charge at the moment in time. But actually, I think Liz Truss was voted in by the support of the membership of the Conservative Party. Many of those members are opposite us here. So turning to the report, Madam Mayor, we do have a couple of queries to raise on the report. It's to do with timings, and maybe we can look at timings going forward, because it's not worth us debating a report in January that is usually out of date. In this instance, it isn't that much out of date. In January, that was presented to Cabinet in September and October. There's a few things that we can pick out here, but we've got the capital amendment report coming up as well to do with Bedford Square and the amount of money we've spent there. But also, what about the enterprise zone and the regeneration scheme there? You know, big pots of money that we've said we're going to invest for the people of the borough, zilch of which we've spent on those two big projects. Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'll take it up on the next item.
Thank you. Does anyone else wish to speak? Forgive me, Councillor Baines, I can't recall if you reserved your right.
I didn't reserve my right.
In that case, I move to Councillor Barclay to sum up.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This report is not about the... It contains a global economic summary, but it focuses mainly on the finances of Charnwood, which are in a sound position. And it deals with Charnwood-specific things, mainly our investments, our cash flow, how we monitor and finance our capital requirements for the next year, how we've made provision for repayment of any capital that we would borrow, minimum repayment protectors. And it shows that our finances, we can't affect the global or national economy, but what we can do is make sure that the treasury management strategy of Charnwood Borough Council is absolutely sound, which it is. We've met all the parameters set out within the policy. We couldn't ask for a sounder report. There isn't really else anything else to say. We've managed our finances well. We can have absolute confidence in this treasury management and strategy and MRP review. I've no idea what Councillor Mayer was. He seems to have missed the point of the report. If he wants to talk about global economic policy, well, this isn't the place for it. This is about Charnwood and our policies, and they are sound. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
I'm now putting the motion to the vote. Can I see all those in favour? And all those against? Any abstentions? Yeah, the motion is carried. We'll now move on to item 6.2, the Capital Plan Amendment Report. This is page 34. I call upon Councillor Barclay to propose the item.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Madam Mayor, to enable the various HRA budgets to be available in 22-23 to fund the violence, I move that the HRA violence be approved to increase heating schemes by 250,000, reduce shelter housing improvements by 150,000, increase major voids by 140,000, reduce kitchens by 70,000, reduce bathrooms by 300,000, increase asbestos removal by 100,000, and increase door entry systems by 30,000 to enable the programme to progress where work is being identified as part of Period 7 capital monitoring.
I second this, Madam Mayor, and reserve my right to speak, Mr.
If any councillors would like to speak, can you please raise your hand? Councillor Draycott.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Two matters I'd like to comment on. First, I welcome the 140,000 being spent on bringing back the voids, 100 plus in this borough. But unfortunately, the 140,000 is not new money. So that has to come out of somewhere else. Next, the kitchens are cut by 70,000 and bathrooms 300,000. So again, we are going to see the year end with a disappointing year for tenants, Madam Mayor. Next, the LED lighting, 85,000. It's agreed by most people that they are more energy efficient and less cost to run them. But new research is showing that in a work environment, they are not so good. The transition to blue light radiation increases suppression of the sleep hormone, melatonin. So therefore, Madam Mayor, the duty of care to council staff surely, I hope, means that this will be thoroughly checked out before they're actually purchased and installed. Could the Cabinet lead give reassurances on that last point, please? Thank you.
Thank you. Does anyone else wish to speak?
Thank you very much, Madam Mayor. It makes me chuckle when Councillor Barclay says sound finances. He's the chap that's going to come forward next meeting, I believe, and ask for us to spend another £1.9 million out of our reserves. So it does make me chuckle. But coming back to the Capital Plan Amendment Report, well, this is another plan where the Conservatives overpromise and underdeliver, Madam Mayor. And the two I want to put into forward is the enterprise zone and the spend on the regeneration product. None of which has been spent, you know. So why put a headline figure of £72 million every year and whatever it was previously, not spend any money, and then come up and say this is the plan that's got X amount of millions of pounds in the project. These two projects, if we're not going to spend any money on them, shouldn't be carried forward. We should look at other ways to invest in the borough, invest in things that we want to deliver and the people of the borough want and need. And I think if that's available in the budget this year, maybe the new administration, whoever leads that administration or delivers that administration, will look towards having things that will benefit the people directly of the borough, rather than it just being on the balance sheet or on the piece of paper here to say, actually, we put that aside and we'll spend on it, because we haven't spent on it for all of this year. Going back to one specific that I want to raise, and this is where Councillor Draycott's come in, it's the kitchens and the bathrooms. Remember, we borrowed 76 million, maybe 78 million off the top of my head. We mortgaged the properties that our council tenants live in to deliver kitchens and bathrooms. But actually, over COVID, we've seemed to have banked that money. So we're not actually delivering on what we promised. So the tenants are paying us rent and we're banking that money. And not delivering what we said we're going to do. And it's disappointing because we've got tens of millions of pounds in our HRA account that we haven't spent in the last 3 years on kitchens, on bathrooms and anything else to do with the tenants. Yet we come to this capital amendment report and we're reducing it further and further again. You know, how's that fair to the people that pay the rent and the tenants? We're going to be asking landlords to pay £700 per property in selective licensing from the 1st of February. Some of this is going to be passed on to tenants, no doubt. So put your shoe on the other foot. If you're a tenant and you're paying rent in and your landlord is reducing things instead of increasing, how would you feel? You know. So we should be providing this type of thing. Because at the moment, what we're saying to tenants is, yeah, we'll take your rent off you, but we're not going to deliver, or we're going to deliver a lesser service to you. And that's an important distinction. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Councillor Poland.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. In regards to the specific question about the blue light, I'll take that back to my lead officer and have that discussion with him, so that I will do that. In terms of our record on housing overall, I think we've got an incredibly proud record to defend here. Let's not forget that we don't just go to the national standard for this. We have our own standard, the Charnwood standard, that we have for years and years consistently met. And that we put the tenants first and the quality of our housing first. We've always done that, and we continue to do that through what have been some uniquely difficult circumstances with COVID and other factors. As we've, as I say, always put our tenants first, as we have done throughout our time as the administration, we are now got contractors in place to move forward with aplomb. And we're in a good position going forward to continue delivering for our residents, as we always have, and this administration always will do.
Does anyone else wish to speak? Councillor Baines, you did reserve your right this time.
Good. Thanks very much, Madam Mayor. I'd just like to say that to not approve these recommendations, I think, to some extent, would be reckless. We're talking about increasing a heating scheme, and we're talking about increasing asbestos removal, and we're talking about increasing door entry systems funding. So I think if colleagues across the floor decide not to approve this, and I think they are putting the well-being and health of our residents at risk.
Thank you. Councillor Barclay, would you like to sum up?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'm rather pleased that I'm making Councillor Mir chuckle. I don't think there's anything within this report that does anything else than serve the residents. It may have come to your notice that the schemes that we are decreasing by 520,000, we're actually spending 520,000 on the schemes that we can deliver immediately. So that's why we're doing it. It isn't that tenants aren't being served. They are being served really well with having the contractors to present these schemes, and maybe next year we will be able to do sheltered housing, kitchens and bathrooms. But at the moment, we're focusing on what we can achieve and the reduction or the movement, the environment of 520,000 does exactly that. As far as the enterprise zone and regeneration zones are concerned, the money is there, but we do need projects to be brought forward by people to be able to spend it. It will invest in Loughborough. It will also hopefully generate economic wealth and jobs within Loughborough. But this is a, as far as the LED is concerned, I wasn't aware that it affected melatonin in the skin, or that LED lighting caused depression. But I'm sure our health and safety people will look at that. But more to the point, it is actually saving us money. But certainly all the requirements that are needed under health and safety will be considered. But perhaps that's an issue outside the capital plan report. But the idea is that what we've put forward is viable, affordable, and funded. And, well, we do it for a reason, because these are things that we can do. We cannot do at the moment the things that we're decreasing, but we will be able to in the future. So again, reading the report closely gives all the information, and I recommend it to council.
Thank you. I'll now put the motion to the vote. Can I see all those in favour? And those against? And any abstentions? The motion is carried. I'll now move on to item 6.3, pay policy statement 23-24, which is page 49. I call upon Councillor Morgan to propose the item.
Thank you very much, Madam Mayor. To ensure that the Council meets its obligations under Section 38 of the Localism Act 2011, I move that the pay policy statement for 2023-24, as set out in Appendix A to the report, considered by the Personnel Committee attached as an appendix, be approved and adopted subject to a minor typo being corrected on page 66. Thank you, Councillor Dreycott. The pay and grading structure is for 2022 and not 2021.
I second this, Madam Mayor.
On councillors to speak. If anyone wishes to speak, please raise your hand. I see no hands raised, so...
Sorry, Madam Mayor.
Oh, my apologies, Councillor Dreycott.
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. I must say that I was surprised that this report went to Personnel Committee. Nobody actually spotted the mistake on page 66. So I'm assuming, therefore, that the figures that are in this report are actually 22, 23, and not 21, Madam Mayor. Thank you.
I'll now put this motion to the vote. Can I see all those in favour? Oh, my apologies. Put your hands down. Councillor Morgan, I call upon you to sum up.
Thank you very much, Madam Mayor. Councillor Dreycott, you'll be pleased to know that actually the Personnel Committee did actually spot another couple of typos as well. And additional eyes are always welcome, and thank you very much for proving and demonstrating that you have read this evening's council papers. Thank you.
I will now put the motion to the vote. Can I see all those in favour? Anyone against? The motion is carried. Thank you. We'll now move on to item 6.4, election fees and expenses for 2023-24. This is page 74 of your papers. I call upon Councillor Morgan to propose the item.
Thank you very much, Madam Mayor, again. To ensure an approved scale of fees can be applied in respect of any local council elections and by-elections which take place during 2023-24, I move that the scale of election fees and expenses appended to this report be adopted for 2023-24, I'm assuming there's, I think, possibly a typo on the cheese as well. Thank you.
I second this, Madam Mayor, and reserve my right. Thank you.
If any councillors would like to speak, please raise your hand. I see no hands raised. So, Councillor Morgan, it's Councillor Mir, you reserved your right.
Nothing further to add, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Morgan, I call upon you to sum up.
Nothing further to add either. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Put this motion to the vote. Can I see all those in favour? Any against? This motion's carried. Thank you. Now move on to item 7, call-in references. There are no call-in references from scrutiny. And item 8, position statements. There are no position statements received. Item 9, motions on notice. There are no motions on notice. So we'll move to item 10, questions on notice. As a reminder, the questions that councillors have submitted and the answers to them are in the supplements pack. I call upon those councillors who have indicated they wish to ask a supplementary question. Supplementary questions must relate directly and exclusively to the questions submitted, and any other supplementary questions will not be permitted. Each councillor will have 1 minute to ask their supplementary question, and the councillor responding will also be able to speak for 1 minute. Item 10.1, improvements to Charnwood Borough Council properties. Councillor Anne Gray, would you like to ask your supplementary question?
Thank you, Madam Mayor, and thank you very much for the response to my question. It really was excellent news to find out that we'd already had a high-level survey done. I would like to ask if there is no one qualified in Charnwood Borough Council to carry out the survey, and therefore, how much did it cost? How much did we have to pay to Savills to conduct the survey? And although results are still being analysed, and early indications are that a lot of properties might not be suitable, will we please do what we can to improve the properties through insulation, whether that be external wall or internal wall or loft insulation? And would you please keep us fully informed as to what is happening? This is a very hot topic at the moment. It's received a lot of coverage in the press. Thank you.
Councillor Poland, would you like to respond?
Thank you very much, Madam Mayor. Thank you very much, Councillor Gray, for the question. In terms of how much the survey cost, I don't have that information ahead of me now, but I'll certainly get that information for you and let you have that. That's no problem at all. In terms of could we do it in-house, you can probably appreciate there's a lot of sort of things that we do ad hoc that we wouldn't necessarily need people in-house permanently to do, because obviously these sorts of surveys are not something that we do regularly. This is the first one since I've been lead member, and some first one in some years, I think. So this is the reason why we go out to contract for sort of specialists to do it, and that's what's happened in this case. It's to go through and take a representative sample of the properties that we have. So they haven't done every property, but they've done representative sample, and they've come back and can give us accurate figures as to sort of what the standard of our property is, what the ability we have to sort of invest in that, and those sorts of figures. And in terms of where we can go with that, certainly we Cabinet are obviously kept in for...
Perhaps you can put the rest in writing as you've run out of time.
Indeed, Madam Mayor, I will do.
Now move on to item 10.2, temporary accommodation. Councillor Mir, would you like to ask your supplementary question?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I thank the officers for the detailed response to the questions, actually. It's split into three. On 10.2, you can see the breakdown of how many people of what category they are in temporary accommodation. And my question to the lead member is this really, on the temporary accommodation and the people in there, do we track the mix of people over time to see if there's a certain impact on any particular group or background of people entering temporary accommodation? Because on one of the answers it says sometimes people enter multiple times. So that's the question on this specific question. Thank you very much, Madam
Mayor. Thank you. Councillor Mercer, would you like to respond?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'm not entirely sure what Councillor Mears means by the groups, but perhaps if he could email me and more precisely define the question, we'll be able to get an answer. But I think, Madam Mayor, it's quite important to note that hidden at the halfway through, it does actually say that the number has quite reduced significantly, and that's both the number and duration. So I think it's quite a good question because it shows what a good job that we're doing. But certainly I'll respond to Councillor Mears when he explains in slightly more detail what his question was.
Thank you. Item 10.3, temporary accommodation providers. Councillor Mears, would you like to ask your supplementary question?
Thank you, Madam
question?
Mayor. I think this part of the question actually lays bare the cost of failure in our voids policy, I think. And I think the performance scrutiny has analysed the voids, but I don't think they've linked it to what it costs us to put people in temporary accommodation because the properties that we have aren't ready. And it's interesting that it's nearly cost us 700,000 a year. Well, it has cost us 700,000 a year for that particular year. And lost rent invoices probably cost us significantly more. I think it's about £1 million. So added those two together, that's a considerable loss to the council. And my specific question to the lead member is, what's he going to do about it?
Councillor Mercer, would you like to respond?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The actual amount is actually going down. I was slightly concerned about this question, though, Madam Mayor, because the officers have spent a fair amount of time answering this question, yet all of the information is already in the public domain because any transaction above £500 is published. So had Councillor Mears either been aware of that or actually bothered to do it, we wouldn't actually be wasting our time looking at this. But as I say, the amount is actually going down, and that's actually, again, good news.
And item 10.4, length of temporary accommodation. Councillor Mears, would you like to ask your supplementary question?
Yeah, I asked him a specific question and he skated around it, so maybe I'll write it and maybe he can repeat back. Okay, on this particular one, length of temporary accommodation, actually, when I saw the answers to this question and somebody been in bed and breakfast for 515 days, why wasn't this case highlighted to the ward councillor and why didn't the ward councillor take it up? Or if they were informed, why didn't they take it up? Because if one of our residents is in bed and breakfast for 515 days, why, as officers, haven't this been flagged up to the ward members so we can help people, you know, and get the case moved on? And then somebody else in emergency bed, 212 days. It's crazy amounts of time. And then a council property, 1,476. So I can imagine a council property, the tenants probably thought, actually, we're in a council property. They didn't realise it was probably temporary. But emergency bed and breakfast, 515 days. I didn't ask the question of how much it costs per person. I'm sure that's not available in the public domain. But yeah, so why wasn't it flagged?
Councillor Mercer, would you like to respond?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I think the two key points here, first of all, by looking at the figures over an average over 2 years, which of course covers COVID, means the figures are actually absolutely meaningless. At the moment, the figures are coming down and we're now into single figures. As for these long durations, the problem here is that we're dealing with people with complex needs, we're dealing with people that we have no actual duty and their legal processes. When other councils are not prepared to take people that we have no duty to house, then that's the reason that they stay in there for so long. As for the actual number of people who are in in the Falcon Centre, they, again, are people with complex needs. We can't simply move them into properties where we're not actually looking after them. In every case, there's a valid reason, and Councillor Draycott knows that, and we work together very closely. It's a shame she wasn't asked about it.
Thank you. Item 11, minute references. There are no minute references. Item 12, urgent executive decisions exempt from calling. This is page 80 of your papers. This is a report to inform the Council of decisions which were exempt from calling in accordance with Scrutiny Committee Procedure 11.9. If any councillors would like to ask a question, please indicate that you would like to do so by raising your hand. No, I see no hands raised, so I will move on. I'm now moving to item 13, appointments to committees. Are there any changes to appointment to committees? I see no hands raised, so we'll move on to close of business. The next scheduled meeting of the council is 27th of February 2023. This will be held at Loughborough University campus in a lecture theatre. Further information and directions will be available nearer the date of the meeting. We're having to go to the university because there's a long-standing commitment for this room on the 27th of February. The council meeting schedule for 20th of March 2023 has no items of business, and therefore this meeting is cancelled. That is close of business. Thank you all very much.